How do you summarize life when you look at all the different experiences you have? Oftentimes, you just have to come back to one word, blessed. Blessed in life to experience what God intended. Blessed in life to encounter the different things that God has in store for you. You're just blessed. Last Sunday, my wife and I found ourselves on Omaha Beach in Normandy, a place where obviously great sacrifice occurred for our freedom. And as we walked through those different markers and encountered many markers of unknown soldiers, and you look at those, and it's interesting, engraved on each one of them, unknown to men, known by God. And as we went through those experiences, it began to remind me of what sacrifice is about, what commitment is all about. And it's interesting because if you think about it, if you don't understand what someone has done for you, you can never understand what to do with your life the way God intended. But when you realize someone's sacrifice, and I think about in my own life, my mom, a wonderful sacrificial lady, and I used to watch her iron shirts for 10 cents a shirt so that we would have bread and we would have food to eat. And I can look back and I can realize that all those different moments were all there to put in motion an understanding of how blessed we are to live life, how blessed we are to experience life. And when I think about this, just the span of the last 3 weeks that Cindy and I have been together, it's interesting because the experiences, you could break them down into so many different parts of the story. But I began with listening to a pastor's wife in Ukraine who began to share her story. And her father was a pastor during communism. And she began to tell the story of how they longed for to be able to have peace and to be able to experience what God intended. But because he stood for Jesus, he was snatched out of their home. And for 30 years, they wondered. They wondered about what transpired. 30 years later, they found out in the very first week they had taken him, they had killed him. All those years, they had wondered. And when you sit and when you hear these stories, you hear over and over again, you realize that if you're not blessed, you miss what it is that God has for you in the midst of your life. And what you discover is that oftentimes it all hinges on us understanding what he wants to do in our lives. And so on the very last part of our trip together, Cindy and I were walking down the street in Paris, and we're walking down the street, and Cindy stopped and said, "Look, someone has lost the key." And I stopped and picked the key up out of the mud, and I said, "Can you imagine that key? No one on earth but the person who lost it knows what that key can do." And as I picked the key up, I told Cindy, it's a reminder to us that when you look at your heart and life, there's only one key. And the key is knowing that we are blessed. And so today, as we think about our own lives, we find ourselves in Psalm 103. And as you're turning there, I want you to think about David. David has all the same kind of problems we have, the same kind of issue. Not any different than the people sitting in a poverty-stricken church in Romania. We preached the gospel 2 Sundays ago when 7 people gave their heart to Christ. Said, "You know what? I know he's the answer." And here's what you discover. It's very intriguing what transpires. Because when you see that you're blessed, you can make the story come alive in such a more profound way. And today we have the privilege of being able to understand that we are blessed. We're blessed to be able to encounter life the way that he intended. And I have to tell you, as you're turning that Psalm 103, about one of the moments that happened in that church. In that church was brought to the service a girl who had never been in church in her lifetime. She had been the product of horrible abuse and difficulty, horrible pain and heartache. And as I was preaching at one point, I gave the illustration of how important it is at times just to get on your knees and say to God, "I know you know my story. Heal my story." Well, when it was over, I walked back and I encountered this young lady, and she fell in my arms weeping. I don't know if you've ever seen someone cry with tears that are so big that they can't even come out of their eyes. Their eyes were flooded with tears. And when it was over, she looked at me and she said, my whole life I've been looking for him. I just couldn't find him. Now I'm blessed because I found him." You see, what you and I need to realize is that we have the opportunity to live an amazing life, but we have to see it from God's perspective, not our own. And so today, as you look at Psalm 103, it's one of those unique psalms because here's what David does. He puts bookends in the story of life. He puts bookends on the front and back side of this psalm in order to say something to us. And here's what you discover about this book. This book speaks to the issues of life. You learn how to read it the right way, you go, you know, man, that really speaks to me. And you're going to see today, that he uses a phrase in verse 3 where he talks about this whole idea, or the latter part of verse 2 where he says, and forget none of his benefits. And here's what I want you to think about. How many things do we forget because we live too fast, we live out of focus, we live disconnected from what it is he wants to do, and all of a sudden something begins to happen inside of us. And we begin to say, you know, hey, there's our story. That's who we are. And listen carefully. And maybe you're here today. On this Mother's Day, you're here worshiping with us. You're encountering something maybe you've never experienced before. It happened a few weeks ago. There's a guy sitting in church. And after service, he's like, I've never been anything like this in my life. The next week, he wrote me a letter, an email. And he said, you know, I've spent my whole life trying to figure out how the math works. You, in one Sunday, told me how it works. And my life has changed. As a result of it, a brilliant PhD scientist, brilliant, but he came to know Christ. And it's interesting because what happens sometimes is we forget how blessed we are. And so in Psalm 103, you'll notice in the first two verses, he uses that key word, all right? And I want you to get this in your mind, all right? Because what does it mean to be blessed? What does the word blessed mean, all right? It has to do with this idea, to delight in the delighter. In other words, to take delight in who it is that has absolutely directed your whole life. To take delight in the delighter. All right? So, but watch this carefully. Because when you look at this word, it brings together two very distinctive qualities. And they come together in an amazing way. Because what they do is they take, the word blessed takes gratitude and love and merges it into one. In other words, I'm grateful. And I love him, and as a result, I end up experiencing what he intends. And let me tell you what's amazing. A little girl telling you about that gave her heart to cry. If I told you her story, you would not quit crying until you went to bed tonight. But what swept across her life was an awareness that she could be blessed by God. After the church service, she told me a little bit more of her story. And let me tell you what's interesting. When you see he made you, and he wants to work in you, and you begin to look and say, you know what, that's who I want to be. Something changes about who you are, and something changes about how you live. Something changes about your purpose in life. And so David, in the first two verses, as well as the last three verses, he uses this phrase over and over again. So I want you to see this merger. You delight in the delighter so that you can be blessed, and you're blessed because you are grateful and you're loved. You get that? Gratitude and love. Bring them together, and I'm going to tell you what you discover. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it makes this statement. Give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God. Why did Paul say that? Because, watch this, when you're not grateful, you can't feel blessed. When ingratitude seeps into your life, discontentment becomes a part of your story. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. If you think what it is that's going to make you who you are is based on what your stock market portfolio does or what you discover about how you bank or build your bank account, you've misunderstood how he works. Because how he works is he took a shepherd boy like David, and watch this, David never looked at his blessing as a reason to haunt someone. He looked at his blessing as an opportunity to testify that God had a plan for his life. And that's why Psalm 103 is so important. It bookends. Look at verses 1 and 2 with me if you would. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. We're going to come back to that in a few moments. But think about this. Why does he say this phrase over and over again? Because, watch this, he's grateful, he loves God, he's grateful, he loves God, he's grateful, he loves God, and something happens inside of him. His story becomes real. And you see, the truth of the matter is, if we make a confession without a conviction, it is a the reality. All right? So if we make a confession, you know what, that's what I want to do, that's what I want to be, that's who I want to, what I want to accomplish, but we really never take any steps towards that. We miss it. And I'll never forget that this happened this week, encountering a young man, talking to him about Christ, what Christ could do. And it's interesting what he said. He said, the truth of the matter is, I've lived my life trying to figure it all out, and I just need to stop and let him help me figure it out. Let him help me understand what it is he wants to do. And so those first two verses, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, all my soul. Look on now, verse 20. Notice what it said. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all of his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all your works of his in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. So what is he trying to get across? He's trying to get across, if you're not grateful and you don't feel loved, then what's going to happen? What happens in between your story becomes absolutely disconnected, and you end up not experiencing life the way he intended. So today, I want you to think about this. How often do you consider your blessings? How often do you just stop and think through how blessed you are? Because here's what you're going to discover. The more time I take to rejoice and celebrate in the blessings that I have. And by the way, you can be blessed by things that you think, man, that doesn't seem like a blessing to me. All you have to do is see someone else. Cindy and I were on a train riding through Paris, and we watched as a blind man tried to find his way through a crowded subway. And he was reaching over and trying to grab the rope that would guide him to the door. And as you watch this guy stumbling through there, at first everyone there was insulted that he was reaching across them. Then they saw he had no eyes. And you could watch as all of a sudden they realized how blessed they were that they could see. And as I watched that open up, that experience, I thought to myself, watch this. If you don't understand you're blessed, you're blind. Because you don't see the way God intended. Let me tell you what you discover. If he gives you life, he gives you to for a reason. You just have to consider your blessings and see what it is God has for you. So blessings demand something of us. They demand certain things that happen inside of our life. And when you look at this psalm, that's what David was trying to get across. The first thing was that we'd be willing to look beyond ourselves. You see, all during the next 6 weeks, I want to bring to light this whole idea of what happens when we learn how to look beyond ourselves and see the blessings that God has for it. Because when you start looking beyond yourself, something begins to happen inside of your heart. But not just that, but also learn how to live beyond your circumstances, live beyond your challenges. And you go, you know what? That's not going to get the best of me anymore. Because here's what happened. Sometimes we have life experiences that could get the best of us. And it could take away our direction, could take away our purpose. But instead, we start, you know what? You know, I'm blessed by God. And I'm going to tell you, if you breathe, you're blessed. If you can read this book, you're blessed. If you can seek his face, you're blessed. If you can stop and humble yourself, you're blessed. You just have to be willing to see, you know, this is what these blessings demand of me. They demand one other thing, very, very key. And it's very important because that's what David gets to here. You long to please him, not yourself. And I'm going to tell you what you discover in life. If you learn how to please him, something powerful happens. I have to tell you about an experience that happened. First day in Ukraine, we stepped to the breakfast table, and the lady there that's hosting us, she's fixed this wonderful breakfast, and all of a sudden I bite, and I think, man, that's the hardest egg I've ever had. It's my front tooth. My front tooth had fallen out of my mouth. And I pulled it out, and I thought, what do you do with a front tooth in Ukraine? I mean, I'm sitting there thinking, we're about to take a 3-week trip. It's the first morning. What do I do with this tooth? And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, that is exactly the humor of life at times. We don't realize how little things we have control of. And so the host, they don't speak English. All right, so I'm saying, and they're looking at me like, he wants more eggs. I mean, what does he want? And finally I'm telling Cindy, we have a big problem. We're supposed to be at an orphanage. We're supposed to be someplace. I said, we're not going anywhere until I find a dentist can fix this too. And so we went to the dentist, and the translator found somebody who was her next door neighbor. And I tell you, it's interesting. You want your dental work done? Go to Ukraine. It's so cheap. So cheap, I spent $13 to get my tooth glued back in my head. And I was so thankful. She said, it's going to be 500 hryvnia. Now you think, 500, that's a lot of money. Oh, no. That's $13. And so I gave her 600 hryvnia. And so I'm sitting in the chair, and she finishes. She sticks my tooth back up in my head. And it's a crown, by the way. If you're wondering, it's not a tooth that fell out all the way to the root. It's a crown. And so I get done, and she said, you mind if I mention to you your next tooth's going to fall out too? Can you fathom that? I said, which one? She said, that tooth right there, it's going to come out next. She said, let me show you. Sure, go ahead. $13 more won't hurt anything. And so she took these little pliers, and she just went, boom, there you go, there's tooth number two. At this point, I said, how many more are going to fall out while I'm in Ukraine? This could get expensive. But I sat there in that chair, and she said, I'm going to glue this other tooth back up in your head. When you get home, you better get them fix it right. And so I'm just thankful it's still there. But I sat there, and that moment at that breakfast time, I eat fast, by the way. And sometimes when I'm eating in another country, I don't know what I'm eating, so I swallow fast, you know, for fear it might be something that I don't want to know what it is. And thank God I didn't swallow that too. Can you imagine me going around all the Ukraine, Romania, Amsterdam, Paris, going, how y'all doing? Where you from? I'm from the South. We don't fix our teeth. We just leave them in there. Then they come out, they're gone forever. It reminded me of my upbringing because in my family, most people didn't have their teeth. So it was it reminded me of my childhood. I say all that to say, it was funny. It's funny now. Then I was just praying somebody could glue that thing back in my head. And the rest of the time I'm there, the whole time we're traveling, he said, don't touch your tooth, don't touch your tooth, don't touch your tooth. And I kept thinking, you're going to fall out of my head. Here's what I want you to be reminded of. When you're blessed, it's not so much the tooth falling in or falling out. It's knowing God has a plan for your life. And here's what you discover. Blessings demand we refine our focus. All right? They demand that we look at our focus in a different way than what we would sometimes do. So we refine our focus, and we start looking at things with greater clarity. And here's what I want you to think about. I want you to think about this, framing this in your mind, okay? Frame it in your mind. Because for some of you, you're going to leave this Mother's Day service, and the only thing you're going to think about is what I look like with a tooth gone. I realize that, all right? But for the rest of you, I want you to get a framework of blessing, okay? And here's what happened. When you start framing up your blessings, the first thing you do is you choose to obey. Because every blessing rides on obedience. When you obey, something happens, something special. You choose to obey, and you start framing it that way. Then you start accepting responsibility. You say, oh, wait a minute now. So I'm going to obey. I'm going to accept responsibility. And as I accept responsibility, something's going to begin to happen inside of my heart and life, because all of a sudden, I'm going to start pursuing the promises that are going to guide me to become who I'm supposed to be. I'm going to start looking for truth that will set me free, that will give me guidance to be able to know which way He wants me to go. And so you start processing that in light of how God wants you to pursue Him. So you obey, and you learn how to accept responsibility. You start pursuing promises, and then you frame it all together with this thought. Remember what He has already done. And I'm going to tell you, when you start thinking about that, it just says something to you that's so profound. If you remember what He's already done, you frame your life, and you go, you know what? This is such a good life. Not because I haven't been through difficulty or heartache. It's interesting. Sitting in the services, we preached that in that church that I was telling you about. But sitting in that service was a young man who said, I will never accept Jesus. He said, I got my own deal figured out, and I'm going to keep it that way. He gave his heart to Christ that day. Which tells you something. God can bless beyond our mind sometime and can touch hearts and lives in an amazing and powerful way. So when you think about that, here all of a sudden, David in Psalm 103, and I just want to show you two things today before we finish, all right? I know it's Mother's Day. I promise all you moms who've got your ovens on timers and you've got your crock pot cooking, don't worry, it won't burn, and I'll be done on time, all right? So just listen carefully, though, because there are two things I want you to see. And it sets in motion everything we'll look at regarding blessing as we look inside of God's Word over the next 6 weeks, okay? So first thing I want you to see is this. Because if you have the right focus, then all of a sudden you start making a commitment to live all in, which is what David does in the first two verses. He makes this commitment. And this, look what he does here. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefit. So what was he doing here? He was getting all in by making a personal commitment to his heart, saying, you know what, that's what I want to be. And I'm going to tell you what I discovered over this time of being, then I had a fantastic time, we enjoyed being together, and we got lots of different experiences we had through the span of those days together. But the thing that I kept coming back to over and over again, and I kept a journal of different verses where God spoke to my heart, I kept coming back to the fact, if you know what you're born to do, life is just better. If you know what it is God wants to do through you, and listen carefully, it doesn't matter what age you are. If you stop and say, Lord, I know I was born for something, show me, He'll show you. He'll show you exactly what you're supposed to discover. But you have to make a personal commitment in your heart and say, you know what, that's what I want. And let me tell you, that's why religion gets messed up. Because religion says, I just have to meet up with these certain criteria and everything's going to work out. Cindy and I toured some big, big, beautiful church building all over France. Big building. And it was interesting because in most of them, they are just museums with stained glass. Very few people, very few connection point. And as you go through those, you realize something. If it's not in your heart, it can't get you where God wants you to go. And what happened is, and it made me pray everywhere I went, so Lord, awaken the hearts of anybody that would come in this place and be blessed by it and learn who you are. Because no matter where you're at in the world, God's at work. He's at work in Europe. He's at work in all over the different parts of the world. He works in our hearts. But we got to be willing to say, you know, Lord, I'm going to make a personal commitment to that. I'm going to experience what you intend. It's the very reason that Cindy and I, when we launched off on our journey together, we spent the first 7 days ministering. And I'm going to tell you, when you hold the hand of 30-year-old widows in Ukraine, something happened to you. When you embrace an 89-year-old grandmother who had eye surgery and for the first time sees your face after only hearing your voice, and the only thing that she can say over and over again is placebo, 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 thank you, thank you, thank you. Something happened to you. You look in the eyes of those who are in need. It changes and makes your commitment powerful. But you got to be willing to get all in. And let me tell you what you discover about blessing. If you look at life, say, you know, if I'm satisfied in this and content in that, what happens to me? Something happens inside of who I am. So my challenge to you today is to make a personal commitment and get all in. But the second thing you see here, not just that personal commitment, but also you'll notice he keeps using the same word over and over again. Lord, 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 Lord. Which tells you something. If he's Lord, we're not. If he's Lord, we're not. And what happens is you start going, wait a minute now. So there must be some significance to his name. And here's what you discover. When you get all in, you come to a place where you have a diligent pursuit of his name. Of his name. Because what happens is when you see his name at work in your life, I'm going to tell you, you start looking to him in a different way completely. So today, as you think about your own life, think about just framework your life for a moment. We said if you're blessed, you're going to learn how to obey and choose to obey. You're going to learn how to experience life the way he intended. So what happens if all of a sudden you look at your life and say, wait a minute now, I'm going to get all in. I'm going to get all in, which, by the way, this sets in motion what we're going to look at later in a year, because I want to show you what happened in Colossians 1 and other places where all of a sudden we see that it's all or nothing. It's either everything or we miss what it is that God wants to accomplish through it. And so here he's talking about, hey, the Lord is the key to everything. And so today, think about this. You end up pursuing him in a way you go, you know, I'm making a personal commitment to this. This is what I want to experience in life. And something happens inside of you. The second thing you see, in the latter part of verse 2, he makes this statement, and forget none of his benefit. All right? And it's the second thing I want you to see is to look at this. There are specific and true blessings of obedience that you can't argue with. When you follow these things, something happens inside of who you are. All right? He uses 6 different things to identify the blessings that are a part of our life if we stop and look at them and be blessed by them. So look at it if you would. Verse 3. Now I want you to just see these very rapid fire, but I want you to see what they are. First of all, he said, who pardons all your iniquity. Let me ask you, when you think about pardon, you know what that means? That means you get forgiven. And aren't you glad we do? I mean, think about what would happen if it all stockpiled together and we had no capacity to let go of it. We were never forgiven, never pardoned, never able to deal with it. We'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? But when we obey, he pardons all our iniquity. Look at it. Then he goes on to say that he heals all your diseases. So he pardons, he heals. Verse 4, who redeems your life from the pit. He redeems. Who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. He puts a crown on your life that is so powerful because you obeyed. He does something for you. And I'm going to tell you, for me personally, this is the most amazing stage of life I've ever lived. Watching him at work, I think about next Sunday. Next Sunday, we have a chance to be able to glance into the hearts of everything we do local mission-wise across our city. Different things God has allowed us to encounter. From Norcross Co-op to Atlanta Crisis Pregnancy Center to all these different ministries that God's Ladies of Gilgal, you name them, we have a chance to be able to connect into them. And as I was thinking about that, He crowns our lives with the blessing of being able to experience these amazing opportunities that touch lives, that touch hearts. I think about the Good News Club and other things that God has used day to day to bring into the lives of those who are looking for an answer. And before we left town, the Sunday we were leaving, my wife, there was a little girl at the school that she had shared Jesus with, and she'd given her heart to Christ. She'd been blessed to know Christ as a result. And the little girl had seen my wife reading out of a Bible, and the little girl said, "I want a Bible just like that." And so before we left, Cindy made sure that Bible was there to be delivered to that girl. You see, sometimes when we see how He crowns our lives with all these beautiful things, He says here, He crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. I'm going to tell you, when He crowns you with love and compassion, here's what everybody you see, you want to make a difference in. You want to touch their heart and life. But then He says another thing that's very powerful, another benefit and blessing that comes around. He satisfies, look at this, who satisfies your year, verse 5, who satisfies your years with good things. You know what David was saying? We get so caught up in the bad moments. And while we were gone, we were watching all the clock tick on the bridge being repaired on 85. And you realize that so many people were anxious about that bridge getting open and opening back up the traffic flow. And as we were watching it, and we watched the announcement while we were gone, that it was going to reopen. And the whole time that that bridge was out, I was reminded that in life, sometimes we have detours we don't even understand that are the product of somebody else's choice, but we have to detour around it. And then we keep moving, though, because God has our destination in mind. And listen carefully. He has a destination for you and me, and it's called heaven. He has a place for us to go. He wants us to live with Him forever. We just have to be willing to be able to look and be satisfied. And I'm going to tell you, when you look at this word satisfied, it has to do with the idea of being contented instead of discontented. Being able to say, you know what? I accept what it is God has for me. I'm contented. Because He satisfies our lives with good things. So that, look if you would, the last part of verse 5. So that your youth is renewed like the eagle. And He talks here about renewal. And here it's interesting because He uses the eagle. And here's the question you have to get to. Why did He use the eagle? Because an eagle can soar. In other words, the blessing comes and we soar as a result of it. And let me challenge you, because we're on the front side of a summer with lots of activity, lots of things to do. But listen carefully. If you soar, whatever, you accomplish what He intends. And so if you're here today and you're trying to figure out, man, how do I get this thing figured out? How does life work for me? You just have to be willing to ask yourself a question. Are you ready to soar? Because if you're ready to soar, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go, you know what? I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Let me tell you what I love about who we are and who He wants us to be. In this room are people who understand they're blessed by God. And when you understand you're blessed, He works in your life in amazing ways. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your amazing, amazing promise. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be on my lips. Bless us, Lord, that it may be in this room there's someone who's looking for an answer. I pray You speak to their heart and life. If there's someone here who's looking for direction, I pray You'd give them hope. Someone here is looking for an answer, speak to their life. Touch hearts, touch lives. We pray that in Christ's name, amen.